experience it yourself, you understand it doesn't happen that fast. It just doesn't click that way normally. And that's the same thing that I was looking at some stuff on studying this, and there was a timeline that was given about when Saul took over the kingdom. And it was, if I'm not mistaken, it read that Saul became the king of Israel, and that was like in 1050 B.C. And then David was not born. Well, David wasn't even born till about 10 years later. So David wasn't even on the scene. And the beginning of this thing is God was working out the plan to bring David to the throne.
And what I'm saying is this, it doesn't happen. Like I say, you can read one page here, and then you read another page, and then say, and it came to pass, da-da-da-da-da-da. You and I don't understand sometimes how long those times of passage are. It's a real series of events. So this thing's been in process for quite a while. I think I told you last time we were reading and studying on it, when David finally took over the kingship, Saul has been dead maybe close to at least 7 years, and maybe more like 10 years, before all of the events really come to transpire. And again, we think, well, Saul died and David's king. That's not the way it happens. And the reason for that is that it's to teach them and their time perspective a little bit about the patience of the Lord, or waiting on the Lord, and to teach me and you that same thing. You and I need to understand that sometimes in our perspective, you gotta wait. And boy, don't we hate to wait more than anything. I mean, that's generally one of our big issues for most of us, and it's not yours, it is mine, okay? I don't like to wait, okay? Well, take your Bible here tonight, look with me if you will. 2 Samuel chapter number 3, we got down through verse 21 the last time we studied in this. And now we're going to look at verse number 22. Verse number 22, and we'll go forward just a few verses, if you will. And the Bible said, "And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he's gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and he smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. And afterwards, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that has an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai's brother slew Abner, because that he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab, to all the people that were there with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And David himself followed the barrier. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us here tonight. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your lessons. Thank you for the instruction and the wisdom that we get out of the Word of God. Just speak to us tonight. Show us some things. Give us some wisdom. Give us some direction tonight. And Lord, more than anything, help our hearts to be on those that are lost, undone, without Christ, need salvation. Please speak to them. Speak to our hearts about speaking to them. And let them know that Jesus is the only way they can be saved. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Amen. I want to preach to you on this little section tonight. And this is our 20th study, as a matter of fact. If you hadn't noticed that, we've been studying on David for a while now. But this in 2 Samuel, and we're going to call it the funeral of a great man. The funeral of a great man. Now, Abner, as you can see through the story, Abner winds up dying. Abner was, if you remember, Abner was the commander of the army of Saul. He was the head of Saul's army. And he escaped the battle where Saul and his sons and a lot of his other soldiers, where they all died in a fight with the Philistines. And Abner escapes. And he goes in during that time. He hears that the people in the southern part of Israel, down in the land really of Judah, that they have crowned David as the king at that time in that section. He goes over to the northern kingdom where the castle and the headquarters is, and he gets that the only surviving son of Saul, Ish-bosheth, and he crowns him to be the king over that part of Israel. And if you remember, we read in the first part of this chapter, it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. I mean, this thing brought about just practically a civil war. There was, if you want to call it that, it was civil war. But you'll notice what it says, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Things were beginning to change, but I'm telling you, again, it wasn't a fast process. This was years that this thing went on. Probably, as I say, maybe upwards of 10 years. It was a long time, at least 7, before we find that Ish-bosheth is taken out of this thing. But anyway, here's the situation. Abner says, well, this looks like this is not going to work out with this Ish-bosheth. It looks like he's a weak leader. He is kind of mealy. He's kind of puny. He's kind of indecisive. And he can't make it. He's just not going to. And then, matter of fact, you remember, Ish-bosheth accuses Abner of an affair with one of his concubines, one of Saul's concubines at the time. And boy, I mean, that blows everything up. So Abner decides that it's time for David to be the king of all Israel. So Abner goes in and talks to David. And that was part of what we covered the last time. And all those things have come to a head. There's a diplomacy. I mean, it's amazing to me. They had those diplomatic meetings and diplomatic conversations back in those days, the same as we do. They'd send somebody to talk to somebody and, you know, get all the leaders together and try to work things out. Well, you saw that as we got on up toward the end of that section in chapter number 3. And it says there in chapter 3, verse 21, and Abner said to David, I will arise and go, and I'll gather all Israel unto the Lord my king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over them that all thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and listen, and he went in peace. There's been an agreement between David and Abner, in principle, if you will. They've agreed, okay, David's going to be the king. But you see what happens? Abner is a commander. Abner is he's a smart guy. He's a respected guy. He's a known guy. And he seems to have everything together. He seems to be that leadership material kind of guy that you see. But I want you to look at this. We're going to look at a gross murderer. I want us to look at the guy that commits murder. The Bible tells us that all of this has transpired. It said, and behold, in verse 22, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. Now, I mean, David and Abner had already worked out their situation, what they're going to do. Joab just didn't happen to be there. Now, for some reason, he's gone on a mission for David. He's got soldiers with him, and they have gone out. And I'm just in some study and looking at this. There are some people that believe this, that David still needed a way to provide for his men and for his country, for his people. So those troops would go out, and they would raid some areas, or they would overtake some people, and they would take their goods. They would, as it says here, that they just came back from pursuing a troop, and they brought in a great spoil with them. They came back and they had the loot, if you will. They got all the gold and the silver and you know, sheep and cattle, whatever it was. They got all of that. They brought it in to David. And can you imagine? Joab comes in and he kind of feels like, I'm the man, y'all. I'm the man. I come in, look, David, look what I've done. I mean, really, he comes in with a victorious tone. He comes in with victory on his mind. He comes in with, boy, look what I've done for you, David. But something happens. Job finds out about the affairs that have gone on. Listen to what it says. Abner wasn't with David in the Hebron, for he sent him away. Look at verse 23. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he sent him away, and he's gone in peace. Oh, boy. Joab finds out something that he doesn't like at this time. Joab, again, is a military man. He seems to be a great man. He seems to be a leader. But there's just something about Joab that he just don't sound right. He sounds like he's sneaky. He sounds like a conniver. He sounds like he's underhanded in some of the things that he does. You can go back and look at some of the things we studied before, and you get the idea that Joab is a little bit of a, well, I'll do whatever it takes, whether it's right or not, kind of guy. He'd do whatever it takes. So when he hears about Abner coming, oh boy, he blows his top. I mean, I want you to see, you see how he finds out about the affairs of David and Abner. But now look what happens. Look in verse number 24. It said, then Joab came to the king, and he said, what hast thou done? What have you done, David? He said, behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he's quite gone? Why in the world did you do what you did when he came to you? Listen to what he said in verse 25. Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. He said, I want to tell you, I don't trust him. I don't like him. I don't want to. You know what? Joab is going to get a little bit of jealousy. Because you know what? There can only be one guy that's going to be the head of the army. And I believe Joab began to think, hey, if Abner comes in here, David's liable to put him in charge of all the troops. And then where will I be? Who will I be? I'll be second fiddle, and I'm not standing for that. And by the way, Abner's the guy that killed my younger brother, and I don't like it. He gets all fired up on the inside. Can I tell you something? Man, when you begin to look at things like this, jealousy, hatred, distrust, anger, ill feelings, all that does is that's just there to set up trouble all the way round about. I mean, ain't nothing good going to happen out of this, right? Here's Joab, and he's upset. He's got his, what he's thinking, his reasons to be. But Joab is fired up, and he's angry about the situation. Do you notice, I just think it's real interesting. If you look at the end of verse 21, it says that David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Look there in verse number 22. And it said, for he had sent him away. He's talking about David and Abner. He had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. And then verse 23, the men are telling Joab about Abner. He said, and he sent him away. David sent him away, and he's gone in peace. Why, this is the biggest love fest you've ever seen, Joab. Everybody's happy with all of this stuff. You want to tell you something? Joab wasn't happy. And he thought it was deceptive. He thought it was wrong, and he was going to do something about it. He couldn't be. You know, some people that's never happy even when things are in a time of peace. I mean, you see some people, they can't stand. They got to stir something up. Amen? I mean, I know some. You can look on the world stage, and I'm telling you, they ain't happy. I'll tell you, they ain't happy over in North Korea until we stir something up. They ain't happy over in Iran until we stir something up. We ain't happy over in Syria or Lebanon or anything. We got to stir something up. We ain't got, hey, things are too peaceful. Let's stir something up. And you know what they do? They begin to stir things up. And I'm telling you, the devil likes it that way. If there's nothing else, the devil will try to stir up a place that seems like it's coming to peace. David looks like, man, things are going right, things are going on, things are going where they ought to go. And now, what happens? Well, notice what happens. It said in Joab, verse number 26, and when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. Now, Joab has called Abner back to the city of Hebron, and David doesn't know anything about it, okay? And then it says in verse number 27, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. I'm telling you, a stinking, low-down, cowardly act of murder to me. Here he does it. Let me just tell you something that just doesn't necessarily jump out there at you and stand out. When the children of Israel come into the land of promise, God allowed them, if you know how they set up all of the different divisions, the different tribes had this property and that property, all the... Throughout the whole of Israel, God had presented them with the idea and the reasoning to make five cities that were called cities of refuge. And in that understanding about the cities of refuge, if a man killed somebody accidentally, or if he did it in defense of his own life, a man could go to one of those cities of refuge and he'd be safe until they had a right trial and things kind of got sorted out and they decided, you know, whether it was accidental or, you know, whatever it was. They would, but you had five cities. One of those cities is a city by the name of Hebron. That was one of the appointed cities of God. God told Moses, he said, Joshua, set these cities out, and if anything happens in this instant where it's, you know, accidental or there's not a clear answer to what the situation is, then a man can go to one of those cities, and as long as he's inside that city, you can't touch him. You can't, what the Bible calls the avenger of blood, that's Joab. Joab says, I'm going to kill him because he killed my little brother. I'm going to take care of him. Do you realize where Abner was? And I mean, just read it again with me real slowly here and see. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Joab had him right at the door of the gate of the city. And he said, wait a minute. Before you go in, I want to talk to you. And he turns him aside from the door of safety. Right here's the door of safety. I mean, he's at the very door of the safety of the Word of God. And Joab said, wait a minute, before you go in, come here, I want to talk to you a minute. Isn't that just like the devil? I mean, there's people today that are that close to coming and making a decision for the Lord. And the devil said, come here, let me talk to you. I just want to tell you something. Just for a minute, let me talk to you. And they never make it through the door. Can I tell you, that's what happened to Abner? Abner never made it to the place of safety. Abner never got to that place of sanctuary. Abner never got to the city that God had appointed for those that had done such things. He said, hey, let me just talk to you a minute. And when he got him off to the side, he spoke to him. And he had to speak, I mean, almost sensibly and sweetly and almost in a, you know, well, I got to tell you something. And then he pulls out a knife and runs it through his side and kills him. Hits him right here and throws that knife up between his ribs into his heart. And Abner dies a few feet from the safety of the city of refuge that God had established. Oh, my, what a sad story. But don't we see it every day? There are people that are that close. I mean, can you imagine? I've heard people down through the years, preachers down through the years say, Judas kissed the doorway to heaven and he died and he went to hell. Can you imagine that? I mean, there's Judas. I'm telling you, there's other people that got close. Oh, listen, what the ruler say to Paul when Paul was here? He looked at him. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But almost isn't good enough. Can I tell you, there's a lot of folks right there where Abner was, right at the doorway of getting into the place of safety, and they missed it by just a little bit. But can I tell you, a little bit of missing it here is an eternity in hell. An eternity away from God. And I believe that's one of the best pictures that you and I can find in the Scriptures of that whole situation is here is Abner, and he's almost in the doors of the city. And he said, wait a minute, come here, I got to talk to you just a minute. And here Joab took him aside to speak with him quietly and smote him. I mean, listen, man, it was a terrible thing. But yet Joab thought he was right and did it in a deceitful and a dishonest way. God help people today to realize the devil's still raging against whoever he can get. He's still raging. So you see, a gross murderer. But second of all, look with me if you will, and let's look at a grieving message. You notice what it says there in verse number 28, and afterwards, after all this has happened, David heard it and he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and let all of his fathers, on all of his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, that's a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on a sword, or that lacketh bread. Boy, let me tell you something. David kind of read the riot act there, didn't he? I mean, he look what. First of all, David gives them this little confirmation. He said, I want you to know, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord for the blood of this man. David is saying this. I want to confirm this. I didn't approve of what happened with Joab and Abner. I want everybody to know I'm not in favor. Aren't you glad? Thank God there's some folks that can still stand up and say, hey, I'm not in favor of all this mess that's going on. There's people out there today that they stand back and laugh. They stand back and smile and grin and make fun and mock and pick at and whatever. When the devil can do something, they get a thrill out of it. So, buddy, I'm telling you, you ought not to ever get excited when the devil takes advantage of somebody and takes their life. You ought to be brokenhearted. You ought to be sad. And that's exactly what David is saying here. He's saying, look, I want y'all to know, me and the kingdom, we're not in favor of this. I didn't approve this, and this is not what I wanted to happen. David had everything set up. David had dealt rightly and honestly and honorably. He had dealt in all those ways with Abner, and he said, this is how we're going to do it. And he needed this. David really needed this. But the devil got up in Joab and said, hey, let's just kill him. Let's take away all of the things that could be, and let's make a mess out of this whole thing. That's exactly what happens. So David has a confirmation. Don't you notice, David pronounces a curse on Joab. Look at this. He says that we're guiltless of the blood of Abner. He said, but let that blood, that death, rest on the head of Joab. And listen, and on all his father's house. let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, one that is, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. David's pronouncing a pretty strong curse against the whole family of Joab. He said, I tell you what, he said, my prayer to God is this. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. I'm just asking God that he'll put a curse on the house of Joab, that there'd not be anybody in his whole family that didn't have some kind of problem. He said, one that hath an issue. In other words, somebody that had, you know, some kind of disease or some kind of corruption or something, maybe like leprosy or whatever it may be. Somebody's got that. He said, let them do it. He said, matter of fact, he said, I'm praying that there's some that is a leper or that leaneth on a staff. I hope there's a bunch of them that wind up crippled. That's what he's saying there. I hope there's a bunch of them. They have to walk around all their life on a pair of crutches. I hope that's the way their family is. He said, not only that, or one that falleth on the sword. I hope there's some that are so humiliated and so tore up over there that they just fall on their own sword and die. Or he said, or some that lacketh bread. I hope they all starve. Man, that's a pretty strong curse to put on them. But that's what David said about the family of Joab. He said, Joab, in other words, I mean, you can kind of draw it. Joab, you've fallen out of favor with me as a man. But let me tell you something that didn't happen. David did not remove him from his position. You see, David presents a curse on him, but I never see a place where David puts any correction to all of these things that he said. And that's, well, somebody said, is that compromise? It looks like it, doesn't it? I mean, he ought to have said, buddy, you're out of here. I mean, you're gone. You know what? Jesus told the parable about the man that was a steward and he mishandled his master's monies and all the things there. And he said that the master came to him and said, you can be a steward no more. He took away the stewardship from him. And the man said, oh, now what am I going to do? You know, well, I can't beg and I can't go dig ditches. How am I going to make a living? You remember that story? Hey, he took it away from him. Can I tell you, David could have took that and said, Joab, you're out of here. I don't want to see you. Get out. I'm running you out of the country. Don't show your face around here or you're going to be like Abner. We'll take care of you. But he didn't do that. I don't know why. I don't understand that. But I'm telling you, he did bring a pretty strong curse upon him. And then notice cause, if you want to talk about the cause. But it says there in verse number 30 that, so Joab and Abishai, his brother was complicit in this too, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And you can go back a couple of chapters and read that and see how that Abner tried to tell him, go on, boy, and leave me alone. And he pursued after Abner, and he pursued till he kind of had Abner in a corner. Abner had to defend himself, and he ran him through with a spear, and he killed him. And, I mean, that was all he could do. It was a self-defense kind of thing. And let me tell you, our country's about to get in a mess on some of this stuff, isn't it? I mean, a man should be able to defend himself and his family and maybe even others around him. When it comes to that place, you need to be able to stand up for yourself and not have to have the government jump on your back about something. Hey, buddy, when it comes to you or them, then you know I'm always in favor of me and mine, aren't you? I mean, I believe that's the way it ought to be. But, you know, he said, well, here's our reason. Now, certainly they had a reason, but I'm telling you, Abner could have walked through that door into the gates of Hebron and they'd have had to work it out in a civil and maybe a legal kind of way that had to work it out. And he might have seen the fact that his brother got killed, but he was the one pushing the issue. All right, so a grieving message. But don't you notice this last of all? Let's talk about a grand memorial. Verse 31, and David said to Joab, I think that's kind of fitting and unusual, but he looks at Joab, and it says, and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you in sackcloth, and mourn before Abner. And David himself followed the barrier. Here's David leading the procession to the graveyard for a man that has fallen. I mean, The king doesn't normally do that. The king's not, but David said, I want y'all to know this was a great man. This was a man that should not have, this was a man that this should not have happened to. And I had befriended him and I had trusted him, and now Joab has gone and done this underhanded thing. And you see what it says there? He looked Joab right in the face and he said, you. He said, rend your clothes. You. He said, you start weeping. You start crying. You get in sackcloth. You get yourself in a mournful position. Can I tell you, I believe Joab did that, but I don't think he was doing it down here in his heart. He might have done it outwardly. He might have shed some tears, and he might have, you know, cried some wailing and all that stuff. But I don't believe it was real from Joab. But I want you to notice there is some sorrowful weeping. It says, and King David followed the burial. In verse 32, it said, and they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. Now, I know in that day they had some professional mourners. I got that. But I'm just telling you here, buddy, hey, David was brokenhearted over the situation. He knew that it could cause a problem and might be the end of the ability for him to go right into the kingship, might cause more civil war. I mean, he just didn't know what was going to happen. But here they were. And the devil's tried to come in and make a mess out of everything, hadn't he? And so here's David. He is following the burial and the those that are carrying, or ever however they're transporting the body of Abner, transporting him on out to the graveyard. And then not only do you see sorrowful weeping, you see some somber words that come from David. Listen to what it says in verse 33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dies. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept over him again. Do you see that, man? That's a real sad situation where David gives these somber words. And he said that Abner died as a foolish man. He didn't see it coming. Can I tell you something, folks? Get your eyes on things around you and look, because the devil's going to try to trip you up every opportunity he's got. I mean, Jesus told us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. You need to get your eyes up, because that devil's out there. Isn't that what Peter said? He said, your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, we got a fight on our hands. You need to keep your eyes open. You need to keep your eyes open on what's going on out there in this world. So here's Abner, and Abner trusted Joab too much. Abner thought there was a friendship there. Abner, I mean, David said he died in such a foolish way. He should have known. He said he shouldn't have really been gone. But he said, your hands weren't bound, your feet wasn't in fetters. I mean, just like a person falls before the wicked man. And that's a little indication of what he's thinking about Joab. Joab was a wicked, wicked, wicked man. And this ain't the end of Joab's doings in wickedness. But, man, isn't it horrible to have to be around folks like that? You got to keep your eyes on them at all times. You got to kind of keep them at arm's length. You got to watch out and see what's doing with them. So, David laments, but I want you to notice, last of all, David gives a strong witness to all of these things. And it said, and when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, so do God to me and more also. If I taste bread or aught else, shall the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, listen to what he said, know ye not that there's a prince and a great man fallen in Israel this day? And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Amen. Oh, David gives a real strong witness to these things, that hey, you don't do this and get by. And I want you to see how much this has affected me. He wouldn't eat. He said, I'm not eating. He said, I am not eating a bite. I won't eat a thing. This is too hard. These guys are too much for me to have to deal with. And, buddy, everybody saw it, took note, and they realized, hey, the king is absolutely serious about this. But that very last phrase, the Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. I'm telling you, that still is a standing statement today. God's going to reward the wicked according to what they've done. You know, there's a lot of folks in the world today that think they got away with something. Right? Well, I got me a presidential pardon and I got away with it. Well, I've got somebody that I've slipped some money and the judge found in my favor. Well, I got a slick, silver-tongued lawyer and he got me out of it. Guess what? One of these days, there's going to be a payday for everything that's done. You're going to stand before God, but he don't want your money. He don't care who you know. He don't care who you kin to. Brother, God's going to make some honest judgments one of these days. And we're all going to stand in his presence. There's a day when the saints of God will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, that ain't going to be a fun day, folks. I mean, there's going to be a lot of hanging heads. There's going to be a lot of oh me's and oh my's. And then there's going to be the day of the great white throne judgment for the king of all. And the dead, small and great, are going to stand there. And they're going to be judged and cast away from God. And hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Well, that's going to be a bad day. But I got a good lawyer, God. It don't matter. I am your lawyer. I am the judge. I am the jury, God's going to say. And he's going to take care of every bit of it on that day. I mean, this is just a good lesson for us to realize, hey, you know, sometimes we need to kind of look at this in a sober way and understand there's some serious things that we deal with and we take them too lightly. We need to have a little more serious tone about the way we... Brother, I'm telling you, this world is an absolute mess, isn't it? It's an absolute mess. But I'm telling you, I know one that's coming back. And he's going to straighten everything out. Hallelujah to God for that. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of a song, if you would.